Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With that big left kick.
Colin Kaner landed a Boston bomb tonight.
I feel like I said, I'm just scratching the surface, and these featherweights are in big trouble. I want to put this shit all together.
Calvin Kaner, ladies and gentlemen.
Outstanding showcase for these two athletes and the strawweight division, deepest division in women's MMA, and a standing ovation from the UFC president, Dana White.
She caught me a couple times, obviously, but, you know, I just stayed strong.
Thug Rose Namajunas.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me. We're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Happy New Year. And we're starting off with a bang. I'm in a foul mood because I bought this other audio device, and it makes me hate myself because I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to adjust the volume on it.
I've never seen you get like so. I saw an angry Jimmy, and let me tell you, I might as well be looking at Francis Ngannou, man. I was getting nervous. You got so angry that you almost hit the table. You didn't.
No, I actually punched the fucking thing because I can hear my peas popping, and I have. I was using this other stupid piece of equipment and it was working okay. And I bought the next level up,
Jimmy,
and it has one adjustment knob on it. And I don't know how to use it. And I want to throw my computer across the room. I hate it.
Like many things in life, I'm useless to help.
No, I understand. It's not your thing. It's not my thing either, though.
Not
my thing either.
You know, I can help you pass a guard, maybe get a reversal from bottom, but I am not good in this area, Jimmy. I'm not a tech guy, and that's why I'm not rich yet. Because how about this? I've been playing this game. I've been playing for like as Population One. I love it so much fun, and I don't even get my mic working, so right. I can't even, Jimmy. You can see the front. You could probably appreciate. I'm thinking of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is my problem. I'm squatted up, and when I'm squatted up, my squat bumpers, they can't hear me, Jimmy. They can't hear me. So I mean, what kind of squad member am I? You know, what am I, Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe? It's an old 80s cartoon reference.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I almost broke my hand last night. This mic is going to drive me fucking crazy, popping like that.
I'm hearing it, Jimmy. I think you're hearing it.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Maybe. But if I turn it down where I don't hear it, I can't hear my own volume when I talk. I want to throw this thing, Matt.
You need this. Have a little.
I almost broke my hand last night.
Why?
My right thing. I had to cancel my workout today. My right hand is all sore because I swung my hand wildly and I hit the kitchen counter.
Why? Oh, you were playing. Oh, you were playing your quest.
I was in a lightsaber school, swinging my lightsaber like in Vader Immortal. How is it? It's great if you stay within the actual place you're supposed to stay.
So you actually got hurt playing your Oculus Quest 2.
I got hurt playing my Oculus Quest 2. I got hurt.
That's hysterical, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You have one eye that's as red as the devil's pee-pee.
Oh, yeah, and that was another way I got hurt. hurt doing my Oculus. I was doing, can I have characters that I do? And I do them like, you know, Chip and Edgar and Craig, and I put them on Patreon playing Quest. And I was making an Edgar video.
What's Patreon? Patreon. Is that like Cameo?
No, it's like a website where you can upload content and people pay every month for your content.
Wow.
So I'm doing VR stuff there with Chip, and I did an Edgar video, and my Edgar wig was hanging in my eye, and it was poking my eye. So I got hurt doing Edgar in VR.
Wow, Jimmy. Wow. And I was going to push for you to get back to training with Jim Rivera, but maybe you should just...
I know. Soon. I'm getting hurt in VR.
I want you to get thrilled. Oh, we're going to get Calvin Cater. Yeah, we're going to get him on. But listen, I want you to get thrill of the fight. You can practice your boxing. It's a boxing game. It's cool, Jimmy. I actually feel like I'm sparring when I'm doing that thing.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, the guy takes my few of my punches. You know, I got to fucking take my time and make sure I'm not, you know, loading up. No, it's cool. All right.
Let's get Calvin Cater in here. Maybe he'll know some of our computers.
Exactly. Let's do it. Hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
Sorry, John. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I can hear you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, tell me that's not all 2020, man. Just this bullshit. Yeah. Zoom calls, right?
Yeah.
I spent 20 minutes the other day trying to get my video on landscape mode for Fitz. It was on one of those handheld smooths or whatever. Pain in the ass.
I guess that answers your question, Jimmy. I guess he's not the tech guy.
Yeah.
I'm not the tech guy, man.
I'm not either. And Jimmy's been having issues all morning. So he's
I'm struggling hard. Today. I'm struggling
today. I
know
today. You're not a tech guy, man. I seen you on that, what's that? That you stand on it, you almost broke your back like Mike Tyson.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That thing got a lot of views. The hoverboard, right?
Yeah.
I thought I had that thing down. I was trying to be a cool guy, and I busted my ass.
Yeah. Those things are low-key tricky.
Those things are fun, though. My kids, they zoom around the house, but I think it goes to, like, a weight limit. So I might have been – I think it stuttered when I was on it. But those things are fun.
How do you stop it, though? It's like – it looks like fucking magic. How do you stop that thing?
It's like a lean – like, you lean, like, back. You lean forward. So I thought I kind of – I have pretty good balance, but, you know, not always, obviously.
The best of us, man.
Yeah, that thing's fun as hell. Hey, man, you guys really live this shit. The last time we did an interview with your buddy Rob Font after his victory, I think he had the same exact background. I think he was in the same.
Yeah, we're at the same spot. We're over here now. Tyson, Uncle T, we call him. But yeah, we got the new canvas we're trying to put on.
Ooh.
A couple of boys helping us get ready, Nick and Tom. But yeah, we're over at the gym. A new location we got. It's COVID friendly, as you can tell. There's three people in here.
Yeah.
And we just set up the cage. It's actually Combat Zone. You know, the local promotion that I own in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to throw shows, man. It's been tough. And I figured it's just sitting around. Might as well set it up in a building and get some training in, you know, without having all these gyms shutting down on us. We figured we'd open a little small secluded spot up for ourselves.
I miss those small shows, man. The Ring of Combats, the Cage Furies, and all these shows. And
the Combat Zones.
Combat Zones, shit, man. Plug. You're the promoter of that. That's yours. That's your thing.
That's where I got my start. 9-0 at Combat Zone. That's where I made my debut. And I took over ownership about like when I was 25, and I took a 3-year layoff from fighting.
Oh, wow. Just to be the promoter.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was the same. The fighter, the promoter at the time was a good friend of mine. He's actually the reason why I even got into fighting. And he took over the promoting side, and I fought for him 9 times. And then he wanted out, and I wanted in. He was making more money, 4 times more than I was a year. And he was doing 4 shows a year, and I'm fighting like 2-3 times a year. So just at that point, I was like, man, I don't want to have to fight for money, but I like being involved in the sport. How can I make this work and keep me in the sport longer? And I really think that was what kept me in the game those 3 years during that layoff. And I had a front row seat to the shows. And that was just enough to give me the itch to call Tyson 3 years later and make my comeback.
Well, now that you've done that, now that you know that side of it, is it kind of harder for guys to screw with you on the back end because you kind of know how it works? Like that's a really smart skill to have, to know what the promoters know.
Yeah, you ain't kidding, man. And it did help me a lot. But there's It's tough, man. The reason why I fought 9 times for this promotion was mainly because, like I said, it was a good friend of mine, and I didn't even really sign contracts, man. I just, you know, tell them, yeah, we're good, that works, and I'd sign it like weigh-in day, you know, and shake on a handshake and word and stuff. And you can't really do that with a lot of promoters these days, you know. So I was fortunate. I there's a lot of shady people in this business, especially locally, yeah. And everyone's fighting for peanuts locally, you know. So it really helped me a lot in the beginning days, and like you said, on the back end. Realizing, you know, what I'm worth and how to try to pull as much as I can out of that from a local promotion. You know, I learned a lot, but definitely being a fighter and being a promoter are two different things. I thought like I'd know enough coming in, and it was a rude awakening the first couple shows, man, dealing with all these managers. You know, not all of them had the same ethics as I did.
Right. Yeah.
And what about, I'm sorry, Jimmy, what about the, that part of it, as far as the stress of last minute guys dropping out and this guy cut his hand on an orange, now he can't fight.
Yeah.
It's really crazy, man, because you know what it is, man. I'm always the fall guy for both sides. It's like, they think it's not the opponent that is, it's like, it's on me. It's the promoter. So
yeah,
I got both guys pissed at me, you know, and then you go and you try to do the right thing. Right. You try to find the late replacement on 24-hour notice, and you might have to fly in that guy that's definitely the B side. It doesn't look pretty on a fight card. So now you either look like that sleazeball promoter that's trying to, yeah, you know, just build up a certain fighter, but at the end of the day, you're really trying to save the guy, you know, 2 months worth of work with that, right, he just took off, and he's just trying to go out and compete and earn a living and make that debut in the UFC like I got, you know, just staying busy competing. So it's balancing all of that, and at the end of the day, just trying to not go crazy, and just really all I just wanted to do was provide opportunities. And if they didn't like it, then they could fight any way they wanted. But I just tried to, you know, just take care of the guys, man, because a lot of these other promotions are just trying to take advantage.
And you must be happy that your fight with Max on the 16th is going to be on ABC. It's the first UFC fight on ABC, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Honestly, yeah. It's always the same risk. It's nice to have a backside reward. You know, there's going to be more eyes on it. So cool, man. I'm all for it. I know it's going to be a big opportunity. But yeah, as far as going out and getting the job done, doesn't do much for me. As right, far as, you know, it's the same fight. It's the same octagon. It's the same 25 minutes. It's just more eyes on it. So like I said, same risk, just more reward. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, more people see it, the better the next pay-per-view is, I guess, because more people, I think it's a great platform to get, I mean, because way more people will see it there probably than on a pay-per-view, just because people stumble on it or they're not paying for it, they'll take a chance and watch it.
But yeah, no, it definitely helps, and it's a lot easier. You know what it's the easiest for? Telling people that that are over the age of like 35 on how to watch it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, right, ABC.
You know, you're looking at these Max Holloway's last couple of fights.
Yeah.
I mean, his last fight, I don't think that was a loss, to be honest. I mean, I like Alexander Volkanovski, and he definitely was in that fight. But I remember just being there live and being, and I only watched it once, but you guys are totally two different guys. But what did you think of his last performance? I thought he looked great.
I want to say I was cutting weight, to be honest, or like just getting my work in. I was watching it briefly, doing my mitt work and stuff, because I was out there on the island too. I had to fight that following show.
That's
so
right.
I'd watched most of it. Credit to the champ. I thought in the fifth round, you know, he showed heart and came back and definitely did well in the fifth, which is, you know, that championship mentality. But it was a very close fight, and I thought that Max might have got the nod just from that one time I saw it as well. So you know, credit to both of them, man. Both tough guys, and it was a championship level fight. And I think he's got another one with me, on the 16th.
I thought he got screwed in that, but yeah, again, screwed. It was a good fight, but I thought that Max, the first one, I kind of thought was really close too. I wasn't convinced that he lost that on a unanimous decision, but the second one, I really thought Max should have got the nod. And to see him coming off two losses is really strange, to see Holloway coming off two losses.
Yeah, they say, you know, he's everyone's dangerous coming off two losses, you know, but I mean, I feel like I'm always stepping in there with the mindset like I'm coming off two losses too. I'm challenging myself to go in with that same mentality. You know, I don't like to be that guy coming off two wins. I go in there hungry every time I step in there, and I know how big this moment is for me in my career, and I'm ready. I'm excited about the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it.
I love that it's five rounds. I love that it's a five rounder because, I mean, listen, his cardio is phenomenal too, Max. But yeah. I think you're better suited in a five rounder because even if it takes you like a round to settle in or get going, I mean, you get I've always seen you get stronger as fights go on.
Yeah, that's what my coach believed as well. And I mean, a five round fight, you really get to see what's up. You know, three rounds, it's kind of tough. You know, you give up that first one in one case, yeah. And now you got to win the next two. And you could go a lot of different ways. You play it a lot of different ways. You can go left and right. But in a five round fight, I think more times than not, you're going to see the better man win.
I mean, former champ, are you like? I mean, when you knew you were getting Max Holloway, did that just like? I mean, you're always hungry. You never don't look hungry. But shit, man. I mean, this is biggest name to date.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
being Max
until the next one, right?
Until the next one. That's
right. It's always the next one's always the biggest one, man. And you know that more than anybody. So
it's true.
It's like, you know, I'm just excited. This is a good checkpoint, not just for me, man, but for my team. You know, the guys that put in the work with me every day, and it's important for them to know that they're that caliber coach, and you know, this one's for all of us.
I'll tell you, man. Especially you got that momentum with Rob, your buddy Rob Font taking out Marlon Moraes. Yeah. That was phenomenal. I mean, when you got that in the and you got a tight crew like you do, it like people like they feed off that momentum. Yeah. You know,
100%, man. I kid couldn't have looked better, man. I was so impressed with that performance, and I was more nervous for that fight, I think, than he was. You know, it's like anytime you're in that corner, because you're able to feel that pressure more, and you're almost like helpless as a corner. You know, you try to help him out as best you can. You throw him some words, but there's only so much you could do on the outside of the octagon. So I was happy to just go out and see him perform like I know he can, man. That kid's, you know, I think he's the best in the world. And, you know, I'd be like, I think we both know it's a good checkpoint for him to be at the number five spot, but I don't think that's his goals. You know, I don't think his goal is to be number five. So he's in a good point right now to fight the best guys in the world. And what a time for New England MMA and you know, us out here representing the New England on the biggest stage. We couldn't be more excited.
And it's also good that, you know, Max did also, but like you fought over there in Abu Dhabi, Fight Island. You know what's up. So it's not like, man, I got to first time. No, you've been there already, man. You had that battle with Ige over there. So
yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much you want to play into the mentality, but you know, when I was over there, I got a W. That whole flight and everything, it sits well in my mind. You know, I'm not sure how well it sits in his. And like Teddy Atlas says, man, you know, I'm trying to bring him to the attic.
Bring him to the attic. Tell me about that.
Hey, it's that mentality. Like I said, you know, out there on the island, I got decent memories associated with that. And I'm not sure how he feels about it, but I'm always looking for edges and chips anywhere I can. And, you know, I don't know how well of memories that's going to bring up for him. Maybe he's looking to go out and get that taste out of his mouth, which I'm sure he's trying to. But my job is to go out there and bring him back to those old feelings that he had when he was there the first time.
Are you a guy who puts stock into that? Because some people do, like some athletes especially have very, very, they're regimented in what they do and they're a little superstitious. Do you have any of that or does none of it matter to you?
I'm regimented in everything I do, man. And I don't know if you noticed, but in this octagon, there's a red corner and a blue corner. And I ain't sitting in the red corner right now.
Oh, shit.
Great.
Yeah, it's this blue corner only, especially my teammate Rob Font. Blue corner. It's blue corner vibes on this side, man. And we're ready to go.
Sparring partners must be like, ah, shit. He's got that championship mentality. I got to get over that red corner again. Get attacked.
Hey, you know, you're just looking for chips anywhere you can, man. I try not to be superstitious in the fact. Like, one thing my first coach taught me pretty well was, like, don't have a lucky mouth guard or a lucky cup or any weird shit like that because, you know, you lose it, you don't have it the fight day, and all of a sudden you're all flustered, you know. I try to have a healthy balance of both. You know, I just try to go in there with a good chip on my shoulder, ready to work, and not try to get lost in the bullshit, you know, and just focus on just that the man across from me in the octagon in the 25 minutes, because that's the only thing you can count on.
Plus, if you have something lucky that you need, and then all of a sudden you lose, you're like, what the fuck? I had the lucky thing. Why didn't it, you know, it seems like too much.
You know, and I pick a lot of things. I listen to a lot of things. I try to take what I can from everyone. I thought, what is it, Motown, Phenom? I thought he had a good point. He's like, man, I hit every green light on the way to the venue. You know, I felt great, this, that, and he just got caught. So you can have everything going your way. You could feel all the good feelings associated with it. You know, and that's the way you want to go in there because anything can happen. You know, but it doesn't guarantee victory. you know? So it's important to just realize, but if you got to go in there feeling one way, why not try to hit every green light in the venue? Why not try to go in there positive in mind? And, you know, you got to pick one mindset. Why not the positive one where you go out, get the finish, get your hand raised.
Longo gets into a lot of that superstitious shit.
He does.
Longo will be in there. There'll be some guys losing in the locker room and be like, oh, I don't know if I like this locker room.
I don't want that guy wrapping my hands. Last time he wrapped my hands, man, I don't like it.
It gets weird. I go, calm down, Longo. The fuck?
I like it. It's a healthy balance, man. It's a good team atmosphere. You know, you get a little bit of everybody, and I feel like more than anything, I got a good team around me, a healthy balance. I got the go-getter teammate in Rob Font. You know, I got the game plans over here with Uncle T and just, you know, all the other coaches, man, just really having me more ready than I could ever be. And I feel like this opportunity is coming at the right time.
And you'll go how many days in, and because you've been there already, so you kind of know the drill. Like, you know what you're going to have to deal with. You know the flight length and what it feels like. How long before you have to be there will you actually go?
I'm sorry, how long will I have to be?
When will you actually leave for Fight Island? Like, how much time do you give yourself?
I leave Wednesday morning to go to Vegas. I believe a quarantine there for about a day, and then 2 days, and then I fly out to the island. So it's going to be about a 10-day process, I want to say, but I'll be out in the Fight Island for about a week, and just like we did last time, man, it's the same routine as last time. So we're prepared, man. You know, we're dotting the I's, crossing the T's. We've been here before, and we know what we got to do. Now we just got to go out and do it.
Hey, let me ask you, Calvin. Now, what do you do to pass time now that you can't be on, like, the golf course besides training? What do you do? Any series you're into? Anything you're reading? Me and Jimmy. I got Jimmy at the
video. Yeah. Hey, that's a good one, man. That's what I'm on. I'm on these audiobooks right now. Really, that's all I'm on. You know, I'm not a huge series guy. It's too long for me. Sometimes I get lost. It's a big commitment. You know, I'm more of a movie documentary guy. More so documentaries. I like things that happen. I like to learn from things that have happened before or things like that. But right now I'm on some audiobooks. I really try to tap into the mental side closer to fights. Nice. And Rob Font actually put me onto a good one. He's always given me good books. And last time it was Tim Grover, Relentless. And this one, believe it or not, it's Jay Shetty, Think Like a Monk.
Think Like a Monk.
Yeah.
So I'm getting all my monk shit for this fight, man. I might even show up in a monk outfit.
What does that think like a monk? Could you give me a little summary of that? Give me a quick.
I mean, I'm halfway through it, so I'm still learning. But he talks a lot about your dharma, I want to say, and it's kind of just your intuition, your passion, and kind of like following in line with your purpose. You know what you're meant to do in this world, and. Just things like that, man. Bigger picture stuff, and not holding on to negativity, not pushing it out. Just the way it's kind of like a book of life, and I'm referring it to a lot of people around me. And right now, it's helping me with, you know, even if I take one thing from it, any audiobook, if I could take one thing from the book, $17, it's worth. I spent $17 on worse shit in my life.
Are you a good meditator? Are you good at, like, I'm starting to try it. I'm very impatient. I can't do it. The whole box breathing thing, I suck at it.
That box breathing, it's. You know what's funny? I actually learned that from the UFCPI originally, the mental coach out there. And he talked a lot about being in the present moment rather than the future or the past. And little things like that, I think, really help come on fight day, especially when you're in an octagon for 25 minutes with someone. The last thing you want to do is be somewhere in the past or the future. You want to make sure you're right in that moment and ready to go. So little things like that, I think. A lot of times people try to make physical gains in this sport and, you know, credit, of course you have to, but I think a lot of times they neglect that mental side. And I see that as an opportunity to get an edge on a lot of these guys.
Hey, let me tell you, I would think a lot of this is bullshit, but after I beat GSP, he saw a shrink and the guy told him to write my name on a brick and throw it in a lake. Next thing you know, I got my ass kicked in Canada. But listen, hey, there might be something there might be something to it.
I love it.
The crazy Canucks, they had to figure it out a while ago.
Wow, he threw your name in a lake and that was all it took.
I put it in a brick, he threw it over the fucking thing and I took a feeding.
I heard that as well, man. That's awesome. Yeah, you stick outside the box and you know, never think that you've learned it all. I'm always trying to learn something and audiobooks are a good way for me to kind of tap into some of that.
But I tell you, Jimmy, I talk to guys like Calvin and And I admire what they do in their free time. Because yeah. You know what I do in my free time? I waste it. I got my fucking headset on. I'm playing my fucking game.
No, I mean, you got a family.
Man, I'm a grown-ass man.
Family and all that. I got some free time. I try not to waste it too much. I try to always be, you know, productive and proactive. But post-fight, it's a little different. It's a lot more cutlets and free time. But, you know, pre-fight, it's a lot of mentality. Thinking like a monk and getting on my Jedi shit for fight time.
Thinking like a monk.
Yeah.
I got to get into those audio books, Jimmy.
I know.
The regular books, they get me too sleepy.
I can't have the patience. I don't have the patience for a regular book. Audio book, though, you could kind of, you know, as you're riding around or whatever you're doing, just sitting there.
That's the biggest thing for me, man. A lot of times out here, we're not that big camp, right? So we have to, a lot of times, go travel to get the work. And I find, like, we're driving all over the place. So sometimes you listen to music going on those rides. Then when you get to the gym, what the hell are you going to listen to? More music? It's like you already, you know, you got pumped up on the ride and now you're in the gym. You got nothing to listen to. So it helps fill the gaps on the rides. It kills time. It gives you an opportunity to actually listen to that stuff and then save the music for the gym and when you need that pump. But a lot of times I do like the audiobook. It's a good way to kill free time on the ride and pick something up along the way. Good multitask.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I'm just trying to, you know, just learn more about myself and the things I want to do. And when you can align your mentality, you know, mentally along with your physical attributes, and, you know, and then, I don't know, maybe tap into some spirituality, all that lined in one. It's a force to be dealt with in the octagon. You know, a guy fighting for purpose, knowing why he's in there and digging deep to get that result helps you push past that first line of struggle and fatigue, you know, when shit hits the fan. If you don't know why you're doing it, man, you might take the exit.
Yeah. Easy exit.
Well, I'm thinking of your well-timed elbow with Jeremy Stevens, dude. Then I'm thinking of you versus Max. It's got like a fight of the night written all over it, man. I can't wait. I'm happy I'm going to be there. So that's fucking awesome, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Hopefully I see you out there. I'm shooting for performance of the night, but I'll take fight of the night, too.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, performance of the night. Yeah, that'd be even better, right?
Yeah, fight of the night. I had some of those, man. Those aren't all they crack them up to be. But yeah, I seen you last time on the island, man. You look like you're having some fun. I don't know if you stuck to that 2-mile radius.
Yeah. We get some passes out somewhere. But yeah, we had a blast, though.
That looked awesome. I was catching up on some of that with the video you guys did, man. That looks like some good times and looked like you took full advantage of the island. We tried doing that, too. Like, we did the F1 racing while they allowed it the first time. We did the jet skis. I only did it for like 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Might have got a little bit outside that red zone on the jet skis, but we had some fun, you know?
Hey, man, I love that. I love the setup over there on Fight Island. I love the rooftop, the pool, and just chilling, man. Hey, no complaints here, man. I love it.
It was funny. We had the fight, right, like 8 a.m., and then we're going to, like, fly out by, like, what, 2? And we had to hit the shuttle by 12 or something. Like, what do you want to do? Just fought at 8 a.m. We're like, let's go up to the top rooftop. We're going to have a drink by the pool. It's freaking 10 a.m. I'm like, what the hell? What a morning.
Right? It's so crazy, man.
Wild.
Fighting, like, in the middle of the night and everything. It's so insane.
Wild, man. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you step in the octagon, it's a familiarity that you're used to no matter what time of day it is, and you know it's go time.
Shit, yeah, man. All right,
yeah. Calvin, well, good luck, man. Have a great fight, and I'm happy to talk to you again. And you know, Holloway dinner, the 16th, and have a safe trip out there. And we'll talk to you after.
See you. Always good talking to you, gentlemen. Thank you. All right, see you on the island.
All right, take Calvin. Care. All right,
cheers.
See you there, buddy.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You know, Matt, it's funny. You mentioned me going. Like, I did get the UFC. It did ask, would Jim ever want to go out there? And I would. So I may go out there. Maybe we'll do, they didn't say that we got plans, but maybe we'll do a podcast or something there.
Well, Jimmy.
That'd be fun.
I'm going to this one. So you're obviously not making this one. So you know what's coming up, Matt? You get me out there for the next one, man, just in case they're not shooting a show, that one.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll be out there together.
That'd be fun, Jimmy. We'll have a good time. Hey, we're going to be talking soon to
Rose Namajunas.
Yes.
And Pat Barry.
Yeah, man. Oh, Jimmy. I just got done with. That's annoying. I'm not going to do that.
No,
I'm going to do a drum roll, but that's very. Very annoying. I just got done with, me and my whole family watched the whole thing. Season 3.
Oh.
Of Cobra Kai.
Did you like it or no?
Oh, Jimmy. I never thought I needed to know John Kreese's backstory. I didn't think I needed that. Guy's just an asshole, former army guy. Now he's I needed to know. I did need to know.
Well, don't tell me because I just started it. I just started season 3.
You got to hear about this. Well, I'm not going to spoil it.
I'll watch it.
Watch it. And there's twists, there's turns, there's karate fights.
I turned on the first episode of season 3. And the news lady was referring to it as a karate riot. And it was really hard not to slam my fucking iPad shut.
No, listen, it's got that 80s cheese to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's a lot of returning characters.
Okay.
In this one. That's all I'm going to say. And I enjoyed it. Jimmy, I had a rough night. No, it's rough.
What?
This is the first day back for everybody to go back to school.
Yeah.
And everything, you know? Uh-huh. And the Sarah household is a bunch of night owls.
Oh yeah.
You know? Ooh. Fucking delicious. That was my owl.
It was. Jimmy, it was very good. No, it was good. I thought it was a real owl.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. Listen to me. So yeah. I'm very tired. So my kids could not get to sleep last night. You know, you gotta think, we just had they're banging the pots and pans at midnight the other night. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So we're not, you know, it's hard. So now we had to get, everybody's on little sleep, you know. And then my youngest got in our bed at night because she couldn't sleep. And that one, I'll tell you right now, sleeping like a little cherub between me and my wife, always like finger jabs me in the face when I'm sleeping.
Oh, but
Jimmy, this is what you're dealing with, all right? So I'm a little tired.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Well, you know, we do have, it's funny, there is, and Anthony Pettis is, unfortunately, you know, he is no longer with the UFC, but we loved Anthony Pettis. Nice. And we also have a couple of announcements which have been made already, but we haven't talked about it, which is Holland Brunson. I don't believe we have talked about Kevin Holland, Derek Brunson.
They're having they're having some beef too. I like it.
Yeah.
First of all, I like both guys. I think Derek, this is a very intriguing fight. Kevin Holland versus Derek Brunson. Because Derek Brunson is more calculated now than he's ever been. He's fighting more mature, in more control. In other words, he knows how to figure out some enigmas in there.
Yeah, he sure does. Shabazzian, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and also look how he took out Elias Theodoro, the long head, the ring. He's the ring card boy sometimes. Yeah. Sorry, Victor. He's a tough guy to figure out. He knows. I'm telling you. He's fighting very intelligent.
Yeah.
And he's fighting differently than he's been when he used to just more rush into it in the past and whatnot. It's a good time for him to be fighting a guy like Kevin Holland, who I think is just, I mean, he's one of the calmest guys in there.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Kevin Holland fan, man. I think he's one of my most favorite. He's one of my most favorite guys to watch.
He's really fun to watch. Yeah.
Oh man, is he fun. And I don't even like when guys talk shit now. I'm not a big fan of that. But I like when he does it. I like it, Jimmy.
Because it's unique when he does it. Because he really is. He does. He will say, like, he's like, what did he say? I dreamt about this. Yeah. Or I had nightmares about this. Like,
he's living in, talk about living in the moment.
Yep.
And he's so dangerous, throws right from his chin, even from his back. He gets those, with those lanky arms, he gets some great leverage on those punches. Woo! I love it all around. Jimmy, I believe you were gonna do the intro for the Matt Movies Minute.
I was, but I had a question for you.
Okay, and then we'll ease into that.
Sure. What do you think about, because again, you talked about Kevin Holland, you automatically think about Adesanya, but now, you know, we know he's fighting Blachowicz. Blachowicz
is
really tough, man. He's a scary guy. He's a very scary guy. I don't know who I take in that fight. What's that?
A powerful Polish man.
Yeah, and he outweighs him. I mean, I know, of course, you know, I'm sure he walks around at a lot more than 180, Adesanya, but still, Blachowicz walks around at more than 205.
He's going to have to hit him, though. Like, you know what I mean? And Adesanya's got a good way of getting off and getting out, you know?
Yep, he does.
I mean, I definitely, it's kidding, it might be like the Viper versus the Mountain. Remember that fight?
I do.
It's Game of Thrones?
Yeah. I just don't know.
I don't know. HBO Max, so I've been watching a lot of... I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones. Jimmy, we can talk this MMA shit all day, and we're going to.
Yeah. Okay.
We can do that. But, ready? Go ahead.
Matt's moving.
Well, that's not very enthusiastic.
All right,
listen, we'll cut that out. Okay, don't worry. We'll slice that out. Ready? Hey, Jimmy, guess what? You want to... Let's do it. All right, listen. Well, you know what I'm doing. That's not even. Want to do a movie minute intro? Let's just do that.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy.
That Matt's movie minute.
Hey, that's me. All right, Jimmy. But listen, this is what I've seen, and people are shitting on it, and I think it's not okay.
Not nice.
It's not okay that they're shitting on it. It's not nice because it's not. It's definitely not warranted. I seen Wonder Woman 84. Is it 84? Wonder Woman 84.
It is 84.
Yes. Did you see it?
No, but I did because I heard it was so bad. I did watch the first one.
Wait, why did you hear it was so bad?
I just heard it stunk, and I saw the first one, which I heard was great, and the first one I thought was very average.
Well, if I thought the second one was just as good.
Okay.
So I thought the second one was... The difference is this. I think they said it went a little long, and they had to make her choose between the opening scene, and then there's a mall scene, and she wanted them both. And I thought they were both great scenes. My point is this. It was a fun movie. Sure. I watched it at home. So maybe the problem is if it was long and you're in a theater, maybe it might be a different experience. It might be like, maybe it's a little bit different at home when I'm watching it and not feeling as trapped.
Right, right, yeah.
I thought it was a worthy sequel.
Okay.
I thought the action, the adventure, the story... I had a good time with it. I did. So listen, I think people will be doing worse for their money if they, I think they should go see it or watch whatever at home. Or
okay.
Wherever. That's just my thoughts. You know, it's not, you know, people think it's not Batman and Robin with fucking George Clooney. You know, it's not a piece of garbage.
That's a great movie.
It's a good movie. Which one?
Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
The one where Arnold Schwarzenegger was the Mr. Freeze.
Oh, that was a great one. Yeah.
That was for Jimmy. Don't joke around.
Come on. Those are good ones.
Awful, Jimmy. Come on. And now you just, you know how to push my buttons because you know, I like a good superhero movie and I despise the ones like that.
I did not love Wonder Woman. I'll see the second part. But I did not love it.
Why didn't you like it?
It was okay. I didn't hate it. I didn't like Steve Trevor. I thought it was corny.
Oh, well, he makes a comeback in the second one.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
You don't have a wish stone, so you don't know what the hell.
I do have a wish stone, and I rub it very often. That's I don't call it a wish stone.
One of my Jamaican friends gave me, when I was younger, and it's before, like, I guess, I'm not before Viagra, but I know that I needed it, but he goes, yo, rub this on your dick, and it helps you.
It was his face.
Oh shit. Oh wow. No, it's not his face, Jimmy.
Okay.
It wasn't his face.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The Comically Unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Chilling. What's happening, y'all?
Hi, buddy.
What's going on, man? What y'all up to?
We're good. It's our first show back. We took a little bit of, not much time, but a little bit of time off.
Look at that. She's got her last workout.
Yeah.
And I noticed that Trevor has sneakers on the mat. I don't know how that's going to fly.
What's not going to fly?
Does Trevor have sneakers on the mat?
Does Trevor have sneakers? No, it's his feet.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. No, he's got... Oh, hey, Trevor.
What's up, my brother?
Oh, what's up, buddy? I thought you were pulling a Longo and wearing your outside sneakers on the mat. That's the only thing I pulled out of this whole thing. That's what I... As a jiu-jitsu man, I saw sneakers on a mat.
Good to see you. What's up, man? I'll give you an interview. What you need to know? We're ready. Call us today.
What was this we heard that they said Rose didn't want to fight? Was that just a miscommunication?
Yeah, that was just a misunderstanding of some sort. You know, I mean, I'm sure the UFC knows what they're doing. Dana White knows what they're doing. Like, you know, we know the call is coming, but there must have been some miscommunication somewhere. But she absolutely, yeah, of course the title fight, but. Anybody, she'll fight somebody today. This girl is ready.
Hey Pat, how about your road trip, man? I know you guys were doing a road trip and getting the training on.
We've been on the road for a bit. We went all the way out to New York. We almost came to see you, man.
I know, man. We talked. Check you
out. David, I'm about to throw her on right now.
What up?
Hey Rose. So Pat was just telling us about your road trip. How many places did you see, and how long were you guys gone for?
Let's see. We were gone for like about a week. We were in New York doing a photo shoot. And then we kind of went down to, we trained with like Gordon and Danaher and those guys. And then we stopped by Brian Butler, saw him in Virginia. And then we went to Washington, D.C. and caught up with Ryan Hall.
Oh, man. Now... Yeah. Are you taking notes, videos? How does your brain absorb all this information that you're getting?
Yeah, no, that can be challenging for sure. It kind of helps that, like, I'm pretty smart. No.
Yeah, no, for sure.
No, I'm just kidding, but I definitely, we took some videos. I like to write down stuff too. And a lot of the stuff, I think the more and more that I've, you know, sort of learned from many different people, I realize, and then the more that I drill, because, like, I think I'm realizing I'm actually going to go in the other room because they're playing feathers over here. Okay. I think drilling really is, like, the key to everything. And that's been kind of the theme as of lately has been, like, focusing on using my mind more. And so, I mean, I already do, but I think really just making sure that I'm drilling realistically and it just kind of sticks in my body.
Do you have any kind of for memorization? Are you good at just seeing something and picking it up, or do you have to do certain things a certain way before it becomes comfortable for you mentally?
I think with striking, it helps me to see it, and as opposed to somebody like explaining something, if I can see somebody do it, then I can do it myself. But when it comes to jiu-jitsu, it doesn't help always to see things. I always need to feel it. Somebody do it to me, and then that helps a lot more.
Now you get the Henzos, you visit my buddy John Danaher and Gordon Ryan, everybody. Now, do you just jump into class, or do you take a private lesson, or are you working on? Listen, I'm having these problems, and bring that up to them. How does that work?
So that's kind of been my bucket list, you know, is on my bucket list is to go over to that gym and train with some of those guys and just sort of, it's also been part of my interest to learn leg locks and stuff like that. You know, you definitely, you're starting to see that in MMA a little bit more, even though you can tell if you don't drill it, if you don't know what you're doing, you can have serious repercussions. I mean, almost with any move, but definitely with leg locks. So that was, I think, you know, the thought for me was to just, you know, just check it out, just join the class, whatever they were willing to give me, I was willing to take it. And so they offered me to jump into their sort of, I guess it was like their competition, you know, setting where they had a bunch of girls for me to go with, and not one of them in there was, you know, whack at all. They were, everybody was good. You had to bring your A game. You could definitely tell everybody in there is like, it's like, what am I thinking? It's like the Avengers team. Like everybody is got their like special moves.
Is that why you also went down and saw Ryan Hall? First Danaher, then Ryan Hall. Is that it? Because you were kind of like on the leg lock tour, or is that basically, was that a coincidence?
So it kind of just worked out. Definitely because I've been, you know, that definitely helped us. The whole leg lock thing was on my list of, you know, things that I want to just experiment with. But then it definitely helped that Ryan Hall was in the area also.
He's also coming in
tomorrow. Oh, yeah. And he's coming in town. He's helping Corey Sanhagen. So it kind of works out.
Now, are you guys big when you go away like that and you do what you have to do? Are you, will you say, all right, let's go to the Capitol building or the Washington Monument? Do you do shit like that, or are you not a good sightseer?
I'm terrible at sightseeing. Yeah. I get so wrapped up in what I'm doing and that, I feel like I've been everywhere in the world, but I haven't seen anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's always work.
I'm with you. I mean,
yeah.
I live here. People are like, the Statue of Liberty. I'm like, yeah, you know, never been there, but you know, I get the premise though.
Yeah. There's certain things like there. I mean, if we ever get to go to China and we get to see the Great Wall of China, I'm definitely seeing that.
That's cool, you know, though. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely, it's usually like something's going on and then, I end up not making it a point. Every once in a while, I'll force myself to do something, and then I'm really happy that I did.
Yeah, I need extra days. Like, if I have something to do and I go somewhere, I have to do that thing. But if I stay an extra day, then I'll kind of give myself time. But I'm not good at mixing work and fun shit. It's just one or the other.
Right, right. And then, you know, I mean, I definitely enjoy what I'm doing, too. So it kind of is just like, you know, it's enough for me, I guess.
And you drove to avoid flying, or is it just the way you guys prefer to travel, or was it kind of a tactical thing, like, let's not get on a plane if we don't have to?
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a driver these days, and then we have like that, we have a Winnebago, so we kind of just, I definitely been like saving up for that, the Revel, where it's like, you know, sort of a all-terrain kind of a vehicle, and it's really nice and slick, and so that's definitely the motivation to drive as opposed to airports. And then especially now with like, you know, COVID and stuff like that, I just sort of try to avoid airports as much as possible.
Oh, the Revel, I'm looking this up. This is kind of like, it looks like, is it like a big van? Like it's almost like a giant custom van.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, they have like those sports mobile vans and stuff, and those are like extra custom, but the Winnebago Revel comes like one of those, but just, you know, Winnebago makes it so it's like, it's the best. It's, it's the best out there.
So with this, do you have to take less, do you know JB Smoove, the comedian JB Smoove?
I've heard that name, but I don't know.
He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm, very funny guy, but okay. He's obsessed with his Winnebago. So I talked to him and he has a giant one and he got me so wanting to do something in a Winnebago, the way he talked about, we talked for an hour about his Winnebago, and he made it look like it's the greatest way to live your life is to get in a Winnebago and just go somewhere.
It's definitely, it makes it easy to just like spontaneously go on an adventure or something like that. I mean, and especially with the Revel, you can, it just depends on what, you know, what you're looking for. Like if it's more than just two people, you definitely want something a little bigger. But if it's just, you know, you or one or two people, that thing is perfect, especially because you know, the bigger ones, you have to like, you know, hook up to a dump station, all that stuff. And it's just like kind of, you know, whatever, but it's a lot more to do. But with that, the Revel, you know, it's a lot easier to learn how to take care of it.
So, and there's a shower in there?
There is a shower. Actually, shit, I could give you a tour right now.
I would love to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get my shoes on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I'm curious. And with this one, you have to plan your routes. Like when you get a giant Winnebago, you got to plan the way you're going because there's low bridges and all that shit. But with this one, it's kind of just like van rules, right?
True. I mean, you know, definitely like certain drive-throughs you don't want to go through.
Right.
Because it's still pretty tall. But
as far as highways and stuff, it's not a problem. No, like
yeah, I think as long as I think it's like a 10-foot clearance or something like that. So as long as you know, it's we haven't had any problems on the highway. Just only problems we've had is a drive through once in a while.
Yeah.
So one time Pat actually nicked a, he didn't see like the little overhang and kind of nicked it. And, yeah, that wasn't good. But
I know. So, that's wild, man. And you guys, where do you just pull anywhere to sleep? You just look at that. It's not too big at all.
Yeah.
You could just sleep anywhere, like in a park, anywhere, a parking lot or something.
Yeah, you can go like, you know, whatever camping grounds, or you can, you know, even like Walmart, they have like,
oh, really,
you know, whatchamacallit, like here goes the sink and stuff. Then you got some refrigerator down here. Boom.
Oh, wow.
Drawers. Well,
look at this.
Little shower in there.
Is there a toilet on there or no?
It's yep. Gotta be a
toilet. Oh, in the shower. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then
kill two birds with one stone. That's great.
Yeah. And then this is like the power, right? And so you could, you know, lift up the back. So you can have like, it goes all the way to the top. So you can have, whatchamacallit, like bikes and stuff or whatever, you know, people like to go kayaking or whatever you like to do.
But when you'd lower the bed, you'd have to pull that stuff out, right? You'd have to move that stuff and then lower the bed back down.
Yeah, if you want to like keep it stable or whatever like that. Some there's also like hooks on there so you can like strap it down and whatnot. And then yeah, there's like a cool awning too that comes out and it has like all these nice lights and it's pretty fancy.
Well, that's nice. And what size is the bed? Because I'm a terrible sleeper. Is it like a queen bed or a full bed?
It is let's see, it's
Timmy needs a huge bed.
I do. I need a lot of room.
So Pat can fit on it. So it's about the if you see like on this side, it sticks out a little bit.
Oh, so, okay.
I think it's big enough. Jimmy's the size of Pat's leg. Jimmy is definitely big
enough.
I know, but I toss and turn a lot and I need a big bed. Some people are like, are you guys good sleepers? Like, is one of you a terrible mover when you sleep or are you both fairly stationary?
I think
Pat snores. I'm sure.
Think about it. I think Pat, he definitely, would you say like you move around a lot or no, you don't move at all. He kind of just lays like that. And then,
I don't move because I'm awake.
See, for me, like my neck is sore, so I always have to like keep it even. Like I like switch sides, you know, and then we'll like switch. Yeah.
So but, wait, Pat, why are you awake? Are you a bad sleeper, or are you just a terrible sleeper?
No, I'm laying next to Rose, man. You don't know where those punches are coming from.
What?
I need to start swinging.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that would get, so you guys will stay in there and not even, you don't even need a hotel. You just kind of drive that and you have everything you need right there.
Yep. Definitely like the longest we've been stayed in there was like a week, but anything past that and it's kind of like, whew, okay. I need a bed.
Yeah. Good for a couple nights, I guess. Well, you could break it up though. You could go away and do it. Why am I planning your life for you? Now say you can get a hotel one night and then like the van the next two nights or whatever.
Yeah, totally. We've done that before. Actually, we were like in Lake Havasu in Arizona, and that was beautiful. So you could like even camp out and, you know, go someplace or whatever, you know, it's nice.
It's a nice little thing, but Jimmy's not doing this. Jimmy, this is all a little, it's a nice little dream you're having, but you live in the concrete jungle, you little bird. What are you
doing? I know.
Doing this thing?
I'm not going to do it.
It's going to stay somewhere.
But it's fun to think about. I can rent one. I could always rent one and pick it up. I'm just not in New York. Go pick it up and go for a week somewhere. But roses, I like roses because you don't need to have, like you said, like those dump stations or those certain places you can park it. It's a whole thing that you have to be involved with.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, the way the toilet works on this one is it's just like a cassette. So you definitely can use just a regular toilet to clean it. And yeah. So
Rose, audiobooks, TV series, what are you streaming? Give us what you do besides fighting.
Yeah.
What are you doing when you're trying to unwind? And I know you like the garden. Cool.
Well, yeah, the garden, obviously I started an indoor grow just recently. And then lately we've been kind of like watching, we've been on the Viking show lately. So that's been kind of,
you said Vikings.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They got the last part of the sixth season, final season's out. And me and my wife are watching it also. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. There's definitely like, it's really interesting, the whole like pagan Christian dynamics. So that's kind of cool. Like I wasn't expecting all that. And like the fight scenes could be a little bit better, I think sometimes, you know, like some of it's just a little like, yeah. But other than that, it's a really good show.
I told you to grab a
Jimmy. He's been trying to get me to watch it. And I have not watched, I've taken one of Matt's suggestions is I did, I paid for Disney Plus because I'm going to watch The Mandalorian. I didn't watch it yet, but I got Disney Plus at his request. So Vikings, Rose, do you recommend Vikings?
I would recommend it. Yeah, it's definitely, I think the acting in is pretty good, you know. I definitely like the little storylines and this, like I said, if you're into like what would it be like back then? You know, if I felt like it's pretty realistic as far as the dynamics of like having to, you know, fight for your life all the time.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm not hating on Game of Thrones because I'm a big fan of that also, but it doesn't have dragons and shit. It's all based on real history and stuff. So Jimmy, I'm telling you, great characters and stuff, Jimmy.
All right. Well, if Rose says it's good, I'll watch it. I mean, that was the final. I mean, Matt, I don't always know if you're giving me the right
advice. I'm not like, man, you got to watch it. But it's like you could definitely get hooked on it for sure.
And are you and we spoke briefly to Pat before you jumped on about are you kind of in a way preparing for Zhang, whether or not you don't have a date yet, but you know that that's probably going to be next? Is that what you're kind of getting yourself into the headspace for?
Yeah, I've been watching Weili about ever since I saw her fight Tisha a while back. I sort of had my eye on her. And then, especially ever since she became champion, I've been scouting her out and breaking her down, game planning for her because, she's got the belt. So that's really what you have to go off of.
And you said your mentality had changed a bit when you became champ. Did something change for you when you actually had the belt as opposed to when you were fighting for it?
Yeah, I think I forgot a few things. I didn't feel grateful anymore for everything. Like I kind of, there's one thing to know to be grateful, and then there's another thing to like actually feel grateful for what you have and things like that. So that's probably the biggest change. And then from there, I started to lose myself a little bit, and then I started to notice I'd say the biggest change was just like not being grateful for things.
It's hard when you kind of achieve a goal in life. It's kind of hard because there's always that, all right, what's next, but it's like, oh no, I've gotten where I wanted to, now right. What? Yeah, it's kind of hard, I guess, to keep focusing on what's next when you have the pinnacle of what you thought you wanted.
Yeah, and I think it was good to realize that, you know, I need to be in control of myself. And so that was like the best thing that I learned was how to be in control of myself. And from there, everything else kind of just falls into place.
And I know it wasn't personal or anything, but it has to feel good. And I was there live for it. It has to feel good to get that one back with Jessica Andrade. That had to feel good. No,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, that was the whole, like, especially now, that's all I'm focused on is I want to fight Weili. But at that time, I just didn't feel right knowing that, like, just somebody dropping you on your head like that, that's not cool, man. I can't I gotta fix that mistake, because I can't go around walking around the streets knowing that that can possibly happen. I need to fix that mistake, and I need to make those adjustments and make sure that that will, you know, that I'll protect myself from here on out. And so I corrected that mistake, that I put that behind me. I'm ready for the belt.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you have a time frame at all? Because again, I heard her, I think her jiu-jitsu coach said maybe in the first quarter. Do you guys have any type of a possible time frame?
I've been ready. Like I've been telling, you know, the UFC that I'm ready now. Like, so I've heard March maybe, but I'm just ready. I'm ready for whenever. That's why I'm training. That's why I'm doing everything possible to just be ready. So sooner than later.
Yeah, because it is, we've talked to so many fighters about how crazy it is right now with the way fight cards are changing and people are dropping out. I mean, again, poor Leon Edwards again. I mean, Shabayev tested positive with COVID, so his fight's off again. Like, so it just keeps changing. So you might get the fight sooner than you think.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Obviously, like I'm sure. Like, I know that the UFC has a lot on their plate, and I trust that they know what they're doing, and they're you know, there's just a lot going on with this COVID stuff and everything, and this past year was obviously crazy, and now we're like barely into the new year. So I'm being patient, but I'm being, you know, diligent and, you know, just prudent and ready.
All right. Well, look, Rose, we love you. You know that. I can't wait till this fight is announced and we have a date for it and a location. And hopefully we can get you again right before the fight or right after it. But, you know, we're behind. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. Anytime. And, you and Pat, come in and see us next time you're in New York, please.
Yes, for sure.
Definitely next time we're there, we'll drive in and come say what's happening. We almost stopped by Matt, but he was close. Way
I hooked you up, though. I made the call.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We made it. You guys had a great trip. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and we were all around a great trip, man. We're almost like still on it right now.
Yeah,
like, brother.
I'm going to speak from my point of view. Rose is strong as fuck. Rose is ready to fight. She's ready to fight. Like, it's kind of like when you have a deadlift, you're trying to hit a PR. If you pick it up first, just a little bit, put it back down, you know how heavy it is. Then when you're ready to attack it, you pick it up. Rose had the belt. We weren't not quite sure on what to do with it or how to carry it, but now has a much better idea of what it takes to hold that thing on your shoulder or around your waist.
Well, that's the fight everybody wants. Obviously, Weili Zhang against Rose is the next logical fight. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys before that happens. And if not, then like I said, right after. Because, you know, it's Weili and then Rose number one. So it's going to happen. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, back. For sure. All right. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we are big fans, Rose, and always happy to speak to you.
Yeah, for sure. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care. Bro. Take care, both you guys. Bye.
Later, gang.
Later.
Yeah, that it's funny that Winnebago thing. I it's funny she mentioned that, because I have really been, not that I'm going to buy one, but there's something like something really fun about hopping in one, and just, you know, Tom Green.
Yes, I heard Tom Green.
He's a very funny guy. He's in a van somewhere. He got like a van, and he's just like in the desert doing podcasts. He's so nuts. He's a weird guy. Yeah, but he's interesting. He leads a really interesting life.
Speaking of interesting,
yeah, thank you.
Or uninteresting.
Okay,
Dean Thomas.
Yes.
Dean Thomas is interesting, but he bikes across Florida for mental health.
Very good cause. Yeah.
Okay. And he did. Now he biked. Dean Thomas biked 210 miles. How far? How far is that exactly? I know it's
210 miles. That's a good distance. How long did it take him?
How long did that take him? You think? Huh? And then he
said, guess 2 days.
People come into the fight business with problems and they don't always deal with them. People don't want to say when they need help, they think it's soft. And that's got to change. All right, Dean Thomas. All right. Making the rest of us look lazy. Good job, Dean Thomas. I'm very proud of you. Okay. And you weren't doing that 2 years ago. You were like a fat guy. So I'm glad you're doing it now, Dean Thomas. He's in shape, jumping on the bike for people who got mental issues. All right, listen. And also, Dana teases Michael Chandler versus Dan Hooker for UFC
27.
That's a great fight. That's a phenomenal fight. And I want to see Mike. Listen, I want to see Michael Chandler in action.
Me too. He signed in September. He hasn't fought yet. So I think we're all ready.
I think he's ready. And I think Dan Hooker is a great first fight for him.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, man. Other than that, Jimmy, I had a hell of a time catching up with you. You know? Be careful with that Oculus Quest. Get Population 1.
I have it already.
Did you have fun with it?
No, I suck at it. I hate picking up the gun and doing the yellow thing. The fucking bat pops up. It's annoying, but I'll learn it.
If you want to practice, just to give you a little hint, because I know about this, go versus the, you don't go to Battle Royale, go a little bit below, go to the Battle Bots.
I've done that already. They killed me quickly. I shot them. I was like, why isn't this thing dying?
Easy mode and stuff like that. That's how I tell my daughter to start. So I'm just getting you little training wheels. Jimmy, I have such a good time with you. I'm going to see you in a couple days.
We will be together again on Wednesday.
Jimmy, it's almost too far.
It is a delight.
Anything you want to plug in the meantime?
Well, no, thank you to Calvin Cater, of course, and Rose Namajunas and Pat Barry.
Yes.
And what do I want to plug? Chip Chipperson, Patreon, and I would say podcast and merchandise store and Cameo. All a big hit. Enjoying those a lot.
I've been banging out a couple of cameos a day.
They're fun to do, yeah.
They're all fun to do. I try to give my fans, I get a lot of 5-star ratings.
Yeah. How long is each one?
I go anywhere until a couple minutes, 2 to 3.
I usually do up to about 2 minutes, yeah.
I don't know if you can see this. Look who's calling me. Do you see that?
Is that Dean Thomas?
That's Dean Thomas.
All right, buddy.
All right. And look, and he's used to this. Now watch this look, ready?
Yep. Beep. Yeah. We're talking another day.
Sorry, Dean Thomas. We're busy. Listen to me. Hey, dude, his ears are probably ringing. Jimmy, I'll talk to you later on, buddy. And I want to thank
all right, Matt.
You. Army. Oh, anybody, by the way, the guys could DM me or something. If they had, my mic's not working on my Population 1. So anybody with the Oculus.
Right.
DM me their settings or how they get there. My mic's not working, Jimmy, and I like to battle in squads. You know my pain and community.
Sure.
Yeah. Like every other adult does. Jimmy, I'll talk to you soon, brother. I love you.
All right, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.